never ended up with a blank after an interview, and I never planned to. That's the worst.
That's right.
The idea of asking people to do this, and then you got nothing to show for it. Let's see, the little needle's bouncing. I want to make sure that you're, and I don't think you need to, this is real good pickup. I don't think you're going to need to sort of talk into it, but I just want to.
I'll just lean back and say that this is August the 3rd, 1995, and here we are in Albuquerque about to talk.
It's the 3rd?
Isn't it? It's Wednesday? Oh, no, it's the 2nd.
Okay, you scared me.
August the 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right, I guess that's enough, and it doesn't matter so much. Well, I think we're on here. Archives of American Art, Smithsonian Institution, an interview with Clinton Adams at his office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The date is August 2nd, 1995. This is a first session. The interviewer is Paul Carlstrom. This is tape one, side A. Well, we may as well go right into it here because we have a lot of ground to cover. We were earlier talking, Clinton, about, trying to figure out just how to get into this because you've actually had, it seems to me, in a way, several different careers. They all seem to be related, but you're a scholar. You've published important books and lithography and printmaking. Works about exhibition catalogs about other artists. Then you've been an educator, a teacher, an art administrator. I'm certainly going to leave something out. You are an artist yourself. That's another part of your story. Exhibiting artist, and not just with graphic arts, but you're a painter as well. So, by way of introduction, you of course retired now from the University of New Mexico. But we have all sorts of directions that we could go. In a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is, in sort of a broad brush way, kind of reiterate how you see yourself, not in detail, but to try to lay in the structure, the framework, and then we can move into in a more focused way. But one of the things that I hope, the main thing that I hope we're able to really get into and revisit that period, your experience in Southern California. Of course, there's the Tamarind stories, much of which you've told and written about, but there's really more to it than that, and I think that it would be marvelous if we could get back to that. Now, you were actually born in Southern California. You're a native Southern California.
Yes, I was born in Glendale.
In 1918. And as I understand it, you then spent several decades in Southern California before you struck out then to jobs elsewhere in the East Coast.
Yes, my family lived in Glendale. My mother was a Scot who had come here, part of a large family from Inverness, Scotland. And all of my aunts and uncles, and later on my mother, all worked in the industry, as it was known in Hollywood at that time. Cameramen, technicians. My grandfather was one of the inventors of one of the early color film processes and was brought to Hollywood, and his research and subsequent research by one of my uncles was very important in the development of Technicolor. One of my other uncles was the cameraman on Liz Taylor's National Velvet, her first film. So there were a lot of connections into the film industry. My father's mother and stepfather were a concert pianist and a concert violinist who played in the LA Philharmonic back in the Walter Damrosch days.
What were their names?
Clara and Adolf Lewinsky, Lowinski. My grandmother had remarried. And I spent a lot of time with them and with others in Glendale and was very fortunate.